Looks like you're ready to proceed.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Please, the court, Santino Chakoti, on behalf of the appellant in this matter, James Mays. The issue is quite narrow in this case. It's a statutory interpretation of 11 Delaware Code 1256. And at trial, defense counsel asked for a lesser-included instruction for the misdemeanor version of promoting prison contraband. So if we look at the statute under 1256, we'll notice that there are two theories for promoting prison contraband. There is the misdemeanor version, and then there's the felony version as to whether a cell phone is involved. And so in the indictment in this case, the state proceeded under the felony version with the cell phone. And after some arguments, the trial judge refused to grant the lesser included instruction for the misdemeanor version.
What's the rational basis in the evidence to support the instruction?
The rational basis, Justice Holland, lies in the fact that the mens rea for both require a knowingly, the mens rea is knowingly, and therefore, in order to convict, one has to knowingly possess either the misdemeanor contraband or the felony version contraband. And so, in this case, the trier of fact should have been given the opportunity to determine whether Mr. Mays knew what he was in possession of.
Well, weren't they instructed that they had to find that he knew or was aware that he possessed contraband, and it defined, the instruction contraband was defined as a cellular telephone. So they were given the issue, weren't they?
Yes, Justice Ridgely. Where I would disagree is that the judge took out of the hands of the jury the opportunity to find whether Mr. Mays knowingly possessed a cell phone. The instruction, as my recollection of the record, is that he defined, you know, this is someone who is incarcerated, who either possessed contraband and left it there. He did not let the jury determine what exactly the contraband is. He said contraband can be a cell phone. But the fact of whether he knowingly possessed a cell phone was not in the hands of the jury and should have been.
Is it your position that it's not enough that the defendant knows that he or she is carrying contraband, but also that the defendant must know precisely what type of contraband is being carried?
That's correct, Justice Jacobs.
You're arguing that as a matter of statutory interpretation?
Yes. Yes, because there's no evidence, and I don't believe in the state's papers as well, there's nothing to indicate that this is a strict liability statute. There's nothing in the legislative history or in the statute itself that would make this strict liability.
Well, my question was, is the legal source of your argument the statute or some interpretation of it?
Yes.
You're saying it's not, and yet your argument is based on a negative inference from the statute.
Well, the statute carries with it a requirement of knowingly, the mens rea of knowingly, for promoting prison contraband. It's the state that says, it's the trial court that said, well, since knowingly is not in the felony version, then we're going to keep it a strict liability sentencing enhancement. But there's no evidence of a sentence enhancement without any mens rea.
Well, if the source of your contention is not the statute, then it must reside in some common law precept, correct?
Well, let me back up. There, I believe in our papers to this court, we did cite Section 252, and that might be what Your Honor might be getting at, is that under 252, we know that any requirement of state of mind is required for all elements of the crime. So the element that we would be asking for a mens rea of knowingly is that it was a cell phone.
So your argument is, and tell me if I have it right, is a deduction from reading together the contraband statute and 252?
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. And I apologize if I was less than clear on that. But also, we know from constitutional jurisprudence that every element of an offense requires a finding that it be a reasonable doubt. So it's unclear how we get to the fact that the element of a cell phone increases a misdemeanor to a felony, but doesn't put it in the hands of the jury. That's what I think is lost in all of this.
I'm back to my original question. Wasn't this in the hands of the jury, at least in this respect? The jury was told to convict your client of the felony. They had to find that he knowingly possessed, and that was defined as that he knew or was aware that he possessed a cell phone. So the jury did find that as a matter beyond a reasonable doubt, didn't they?
Respectfully, Justice Ridgely, I don't believe that the judge put the question of the cell phone in the hands of the jury. I believe the instruction reads, and if I can pull up the appendix to find exactly his language.
It's at page 8 of the state's answering brief in footnote 11.
I apologize for the delay. I'm just pulling up the to make sure I have the instruction. Okay, the defendant has been charged with promoting prison contraband. Okay, the indictment reads, count one, defendant charged with promoting prison contraband. In other words, to find the defendant guilty, you must find that each of the following elements. One, defendant at the time alleged in the indictment was confined to a detention facility and acted knowingly and unlawfully. Contraband as a matter of law includes a cellular phone. Defendant possessed the contraband. So, my understanding is he's telling the jury, as long as you find that he possessed contraband, you can find that he's guilty of the felony version. He's not defining what a cell phone is, and he's not saying that it's up to them to decide whether he possessed the cell phone. He's saying, if you get to contraband, if you find that he possessed any contraband, you can find him guilty of the felony version.
Well, but in the end of that same paragraph says, or in other words, he knew then contraband was in his actual possession, meaning it was on his person, and he knew it was there.
Correct. Correct. And I think the distinction is he's using the general term contraband. And the way that our position in the statute is, you have to knowingly possess a certain kind of contraband if you want the jury to convict for the felony version of the statute, because it's an element of the offense. It's the cell phone is the only element that makes it a misdemeanor to a felony. And because of that, it's got to be found beyond a reasonable doubt. And so if he's just telling the jury to find that he possessed contraband in general, how do we know what the jury's considering, whether he knowingly possessed a cell phone?
Well, it's hard to do things like this on the spot, but give us your version of what the judge should have told the jury.
Our position is that the judge should have granted the lesser included instruction and told the jury that if they found that the defendant knowingly possessed contraband and that he knowingly, I'm sorry, let me say that, if he knowingly, if the contraband that he knowingly possessed was a cell phone, and he knew it was a cell phone, he can be convicted of the felony version. If they don't find beyond a reasonable doubt that that he knew he possessed a cell phone, then he's only can be convicted for the misdemeanor of contraband in general.
Is there an analogy to what you're seeking to the instructions that are given on theft when there's a value of property issue, whether it's over $1,000 or not?
No, and Justice Richard, those examples which the state cites, just like the rape statutes, those are strict liability sentence enhancers. When you go to the theft statute, if someone's over the age of 62 or whatever, it's an automatic, you know, there is no mens rea. But the problem here is the statute is less than clear. And I understand that's probably why we're here today, is because it's not the most artfully drafted statute involving promoting prison contraband, because it does put in a mens rea for everything but a cell phone. And I think the state does, you know, again, they'll probably disagree with everything that the defense has to say, but if you look at our briefs, I think we agree that there's a mens rea for both, and the mens rea is knowingly.
But your argument seems to be the jury should be told maybe he knew he had contraband, but he didn't know that it was a cell phone. Is that correct?
That's correct, Justice Holland.
So is there any rational basis in the evidence for him thinking he might have possessed contraband that was not a cell phone?
Certainly. I don't mean to bring up the last argument that we just had, but this is an area of technology that also is showing how why there's a rational basis. We have cell phones today that they don't look like cell phones. If you have these e-readers, these iPads, they're as large as cell phones, but they do not dispatch calls.
No, but I understand that. But in the one scenario could be another prisoner handed him the sock with a knot in it and said, hold this for me, I don't want to get in trouble. So then your client thinks, well, I'm going to do a favor for my friend, but he doesn't really know what he's holding. If that had been the case, then maybe there would be a rational basis in the evidence for your argument. But here we have the situation where he actually had it in his possession, and he's trying to say, I didn't know what I was possessing, and what he was possessing was a cell phone. Right. And there's not any other choice of contraband.
Right, but at the I guess if the jury, if the fact that when they unraveled the sock and they found a cell phone and a cell phone charger, if that element of the offense made it a felony from a misdemeanor, why shouldn't the jury decide whether it was beyond a reasonable doubt that Mr. Mays knew what he possessed?
But when you talk about a rational basis in the evidence, your argument is, I mean, the cell phone and the sock were found in his underwear. Is it rational to assume he didn't know what was in his underwear?
Well, as the record reflects, it was, I believe, bound by two or three socks, then bed sheets. It was so heavily wrapped that I'm not sure anyone knew what it was until it was opened. We don't know. I think in your example, Justice Holland, somebody gave him this and said, hold it for me. At that point, he doesn't know what he has.
Yeah, but in my hypothetical, there was a rational basis in the evidence for him not knowing because it came from someone else. How can we rationally, you know, to use the same word, overuse the same word, how can we rationally write an opinion that says a reasonable person wouldn't know what was in their underwear?
Well, the record isn't developed enough to know what happened before he received this package when he was in prison. I think, not to go astray, but I think it's important to understand that that question is still for the jury to decide, not the judge in this case, and the judge took that away from the jury to at least decide what exactly the mens rea was. And I think what is clear from this case is we have an inartfully drafted statute. It's, you know, it's not the clearest when it comes to the distinctions between what mens rea you need for the misdemeanor and the felony. There's room for, you know, different minds are going to, you know, disagree regarding.
But if it's a jury question, wouldn't the judge have to decide? There's a rational basis in the evidence where a jury can conclude your client did not know what was in his underwear.
Based on my understanding of how contraband enters these facilities in the first place, would support the fact that maybe he didn't know. If someone hands him something and doesn't know what's inside, I don't know.
To follow up on Justice Holland's question, if we were to accept your argument, wouldn't it follow that this defendant not only did not know that he was carrying a cell phone, but also he didn't know he was carrying any contraband at all?
And again, that's the jury could have found that.
Well, was that argued? Did the jury, that he had no idea what was in his sock, period? That he didn't, that in other words, that he wasn't promoting contraband because he didn't know he was carrying contraband?
Well, I think the defense tried their best to, once the lesser included instruction was not provided, he had to do his best to argue that he did not have the mens rea of carrying any contraband. But again, and I see that my time is reserved.
Yeah, we'll let you save the time, but remind me, did your client testify?
No.
And I just have one other question. The jury, were they read the indictment which charged that your client did knowingly and unlawfully make, obtain, or possess any contraband, a cell phone?
Yes, that was the indictment, and that was actually one of the arguments made to the trial judges. If it's in the indictment, why isn't that question also going to the jury?
And they were read the indictment?
No, just the instruction. My understanding is, and I can go back and check when I come back up, is that the judge read the instruction as I read it from the record, not the words from the indictment.
All right. Well, think about this when you come back. We have other cases where defendants have testified, and they've testified to a version of events, and then they've said a credible basis or a rational basis in the evidence for a lesser included instruction is my sworn testimony, even though it may appear inconsistent with the other testimony that's scientifically supported. My testimony under oath entitles me to a lesser included instruction. So if your client had testified, that would be an entirely different argument for I didn't know what was in the sock. But in the absence of that, we have to look at the record we have to try to find this rational basis for the lesser included instruction.
Sure.
Thank you.
Good morning.
May it please the court. Good morning, Andrew Vella on behalf of the state. Your Honor, the Superior Court did not commit error in this case when it declined to instruct the jury on the lesser included misdemeanor promoting prison contraband. In order for a defendant to receive a lesser included instruction, there are four criteria that this court has set out that have to be met. And the four criteria are, first, there must be a proper request, which was made in this case. The second is that the lesser must contain some, but not all, of the elements of the charged offense, which is true in this case. The differentiating element here is the cell phone as the contraband. And the elements differentiating the two must be in dispute. And the state's arguing there is no dispute about the element that differs here. While the defense argues it, the state's argument is there is no dispute. And finally, there must be some evidence that would allow the jury to rationally acquit the defendant of the grade on the greater charge and convict on the lesser. And in this case, the defendant has failed on two of those criteria. The first is that there is no rational basis in the evidence. In this case, the only evidence in this case was the testimony of two correction officers who, after shaking down Mays' cell, went and found him in the infirmary, had him strip, and recovered a cell phone that was secreted inside a sock. And inside that sock, there was some bedding material, but all of those things were in his underwear under his groin. That's the only evidence in this case. And the only contraband that was found was, in fact, a cell phone. It wasn't some other sort of contraband where there might be a basis in the evidence to suggest, well, he possessed something less than a weapon or a cell phone, which are the two things that elevate this to the felony. The only evidence is he possessed a cell phone.
I'm intuiting from the nature of your argument, Mr. Vella, that we don't need to reach the legal argument that the defense has proffered, which is that the mens rea, or the knowledge of the defendant, only has to go so far as knowing that there's contraband, not knowing precisely what kind of contraband.
The state would suggest that the court does not need to reach a decision on that issue. However, the state's position is that the defense would have this court read an extra element into the statute by inserting a mens rea before contraband. Knowingly possessed is the mens rea for the entire statute. The statute is written such that if the defendant knowingly possesses contraband, he's guilty of promoting prison contraband. If the contraband happens to be a cell phone or a deadly weapon, it elevates it to a felony. The state's not relieved of its burden of proving that beyond a reasonable doubt. However, the state's argument is that doesn't require a separate mens rea.
He means separate knowledge.
Separate knowledge of what it is. The defendant runs the risk when he possesses contraband that it's, in fact, contraband that will elevate it to a felony, no different than the theft statutes, the sex offense statutes.
You're saying that, let's suppose there's another type of contraband that wouldn't constitute a felony. And if another prisoner said, look, hold this sock for me, it has X in it, which is misdemeanor contraband, then the defendant finds out it's a cell phone. If the defendant testified to that effect, he would be entitled to the lesser included instruction.
The state's position, he would still not be entitled to the lesser, because that presupposes that you have a separate mens rea. The state's position is that knowingly modifies possesses.
But all contraband won't result in a felony conviction, will it?
No, it will not.
So maybe I should rephrase my question. If the defendant says, I thought it was contraband that wouldn't constitute a felony, and I was surprised it was a cell phone, would the defendant be entitled to the benefit of the jury considering it was a misdemeanor offense, not a felony?
The state would suggest it's no different than the defendant who knowingly possesses more than 5 grams of cocaine. He can say in trial, well, I thought I only had 3, but it wound up to be 5. So he doesn't get a lesser included of possession. It's trafficking because of the weight. That's the strict liability component. The what it is makes it the felony. It's just like in a theft case or a criminal mischief case, the defendant may say, I only thought I did $300 worth of damage to that window, but the window wound up costing $3,000. He wouldn't be entitled to a lesser included criminal mischief misdemeanor. And the same reasoning the state would suggest applies to this statute. He can say, well, I thought it was something else. I thought it was tobacco. I thought it was some implement I made that was made for me to protect myself.
So your point is, once you admit you have contraband, you assume the risk that the contraband may result in a felony conviction based on its nature.
That is correct, Justice Holland.
I was going to ask the same question, just phrased slightly differently, and that is that if it's established that the defendant has knowledge that he's carrying contraband, then the defendant is chargeable with knowledge of what type of contraband he's carrying.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But you agree that the jury has to decide that issue?
Yes. You mean in terms of the aggravator?
Yes.
Yes, that is still an element of the offense that needs to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt, which is in part why that's in the indictment. And the jury is instructed and was instructed in this case on that. The state has to prove every element of the offense beyond a reasonable doubt, and that includes one of the elements is, in this case, that the contraband was a cell phone. So we're not relieved of our burden. The state just suggests that element is a strict liability element of the offense. It's not a strict liability offense. It still requires a mens rea, knowingly in this case, but that element of it, no different than the drug statutes or theft or sex or sexual offenses, this has a strict liability component to it.
Well, it's a one-layered, but not a two-layered mens rea. Yeah.
That is correct, Your Honor. And that brings the state to its argument about the second reason, other than no rational basis in the evidence, why there has to be an element in controversy in order to get a lesser. And in this case,
There was no controversy.
And the defense has conceded. The mens rea is knowingly, but the defense argument tries to inject the controversy by presupposing that the state has to show a new mens rea or a different mens rea than what's in the statute. But the state's position is that that's not the case. The statute's not written that way. The mens rea applies throughout, so there can be no controversy.
So,
the mens rea is the same.
To track Justice Holland's question to Mr. Giacotti, I suppose a controversy could have been, or a dispute could have been created if the defendant had testified that he didn't know that what he was carrying in the sock was a cell phone. That would be one way to do it.
That would be one way to certainly create the controversy. However, the state's position is still that the mens rea is the same, and it's a strict liability component.
Well, it wouldn't go to mens rea. It would go to whether... Well, maybe it would, but there would be at least it's some evidence that he didn't knowingly have a cell phone. You know, maybe somebody sneaked it into the sock or whatever. You know, alternative explanation there might be.
But the state would suggest, and then that jury is not left with a lesser to consider. It's acquittal that they can consider in that case, but not a lesser. Mm-hmm. And in this case, the defendant...
That's because the only contraband was a cell phone.
It was a cell phone, certainly. Even if the defendant had testified, well, I didn't know it was a cell phone, I thought it was something else, the state's position is that...
There were two things in his sock, weren't they? A cell phone and a charger?
I believe it was a cell phone and a bed sheet. Well, there may have been a charger as well. It was a cell phone and a charger and the bed sheet.
All right. And is a charger contraband?
The charger itself... It's not defined as contraband under the statute. The statute is specific about what the statute is specific about what elevates it to a felony, and that is the cell phone. But in this case, there's no rational basis to give an instruction on a lesser because the contraband that he possessed was the cell phone, and the only evidence is the cell phone. perhaps the charger, but the state would suggest the charger is attendant to the cell phone. If he were found with just a charger in and of itself.
So there was no argument that the charger was contraband?
There was not an argument made in that regard, and the defense simply argued he might not have known what was in the sock, in his groin.
So your position then is two of the elements that are essential to justify a lesser included instruction had not been established.
That is correct.
And the appeal, the judgment could be affirmed on that basis. But if we were to have to go further, we could also affirm on the basis that there is no rule of law, as the defendant argues, that there must be a two-layered showing of mens rea or knowledge.
That is correct, Justice Jacobs.
Is there anything further that you wanted to tell us?
No, Your Honor, if the court has no further questions. Thank you.
Just to answer Justice Ridgely's question regarding the instruction, the judge did read verbatim the indictment to the jury before the instruction. And I think that's an important point here, because if we read the indictment verbatim, the state is saying that Mr. Mays knowingly possessed a cell phone. So how that isn't an element of the offense is what I guess is in dispute here. The defense's position is that it's an enhanced sentence because of that element. And because of that element needs to be found beyond a reasonable doubt, then we would ask that the mens rea apply for knowingly, unless the court has any other questions.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you.
The court will take the matter under advisement. We'll also take a brief recess.